Blog Talk Radio.
No! It's good to know God this morning. This morning, Father, teaching on the trillion-dollar flow tonight. About the code open up for you today. Psalms 91. What I want to say to you, we're praying for you, every letter, every telephone call, every expression of love, we are praying that your breakthrough comes to this hour. And the thing is that God is in control. And by God being in control, all is well. It seemed like it's not, but I want you to know, all is with God. And everything going to work out in divine order. And I want you to know that this morning, that God is going to keep you in the divine way. And when he puts you in a divine way, he's going to open up a door for you. And that door that God going to open up for you, going to work for you. And I want you to know that it's going to work quick, fast, and that's what God do. He work quick, fast, and he work in a hurry. So some of you need God to work for you quick, fast, and in a hurry. What you want God to do, and God do it. If you just let go and let God in, and let God break that yoke open for you today. And those that are read your Bible, those that read your Bible, and you listen to God for a special breakthrough. And you say, well, Bishop, I need a breakthrough. God will give you the breakthrough, but you got to let go and let God. And some let go, and when you let go and let God, he will give you the breakthrough that you need, and the door will open up for you. But see, it's not open up for you to get ready for God to bless you in a special way. So God will open up a door for you this morning. I want to say all is well. It looked like the government is crashing. It looked like everything's going. God is in control. Prayer changes things. And you get ready for a change in your life. And get ready for God. I'm praying for you and you this morning. As people call, was saying, what we going to do with all these people coming in? Don't worry about them. God is in control. And all those people going wrong, God is going to kill us. I wish I had somebody know what I was talking about this morning. God is still in control of everything. And God's still looking for life and something.
For the last few days, several people have been calling me and writing me and telling me of how lonesome they are in this big city. And I don't want you to take that lightly, because that is quite possible. There are people who can come to cities like Detroit and like Chicago and New York and other large urban cities, having left their home grounds and their friends somewhere else, and their familiar surroundings, and possibly who were active in their churches where they previously lived and come to a strange city and feel lost. That is one way to be lonesome. Then there are others who have come to the big city and who have been caught up by its rapid pace, its fast movements, its gaiety, its revelry, its nightlife, its good times, and who have pursued the fantasy of pleasure in this manner and have grown tired, have lived to learn that this does not satisfy. As I said to you in the sermon on last Sunday night, in quoting words from Jesus, that man cannot live by bread alone. Also, man cannot live by pleasure alone. Did you hear what I said? I said man cannot find ultimate satisfaction in pleasure. If you believe it, try. You'll grow tired of the grind and the rapid pace and the crowd and the parties and the reciprocation that must go on. They entertain you and you in turn entertain them. And then eventually you add up the cost that is involved. And you learn that you're going out the world backwards. I don't believe you know what I'm talking about. Do you all know what I'm talking about? I'm trying to say to you that man was made for God. Man was made for God. Man was not made for himself. Man was not made for pleasure. I mean alone. Man was not made for material things alone. Man was made for God. The reason why there are so many lonesome, frustrated souls in this big city, in other big cities, the reason why so many people feel maladjusted and feel useless is because there is no purpose in your life. When you are living, and remember, I'm not saying that man should not have pleasure in his life. Man should have pleasure in his life. I am not saying that man should not have the material things that he can acquire honestly and justly. I'm not saying that he should not have them. He should have them if he can. But what I am saying, no life is complete simply with the acquisition of pleasure or of material goods. For man was made for a nobler and a higher purpose. And if tonight you are listening to my voice and have been thinking that your life is useless, drab and unexciting and uneventful, if you're listening to me tonight and feel that you are on a merry-go-round that is just doing the same thing over and over again, day in and day out, remember that your life will remain thus until you tie it and involve it with something that is constructed lasting. Something that is lasting. Oh, to go through life with God out of it. To go through life with half purpose out of it. To go through life when your life is not dedicated or given over to anything worthwhile. Then you are likely to become frustrated. And some people have even cracked up and lost their mind. And some have committed suicide. Not because always what appears to be the reason. For usually our lives that go on the rocks like that are lives that had no purpose to begin with too much. Yeah, people say, people killing themselves over one another. Killing themselves because they lost money. Killing themselves for this reason or that reason. Or cracking up for this reason or that reason. Nobody after is healthy and sane that make God the center of his life is going to crack up. Is going to crack up. If you don't believe what I'm talking about, ask that old widow woman whose husband died and left her and who had scarcely enough money to bury him with no savings and with three or four little children to bring up and a meager job or a job that afforded her only meager means. And she will tell you, because God was the center of her life, and because she put her faith in God, and because she plugged in on God and therefore on eternal life, even though it was dark, even though it was hard, even though sometimes she didn't know how her ends were going to be met, sometimes she didn't know where her rent was going to come from. But because she held on to God's unchanging hand, she didn't crack up. The amazing thing about it, some of the women and even some men in predicaments like that have ultimately turned out to be successful enough to educate their children and bring them up as respectable citizens. That's a credit to their community and to their people. I wonder, do you know what I'm talking about? In the book of James, that is a question. A startling question. A challenging question. It is, what is your life? What is your life? Isn't that a challenging question? We know that there are over 2 billion people in the world today, according to the statistics. But what is your life? Are you just a number among 2 billion people? Are you just another person that makes up the population? What is your life? What does your life consist of? What are you doing with your life? For your time is not your own. As you hear people boastfully say sometimes, my life is my own and my time is my own and I can do with it what I want to do. But your time is not your own. Neither is your life your own. You are merely the manager of your life. That life doesn't belong to you. That time doesn't belong to you. That time belongs to God. That life belongs to God. The life that you have is merely an investment that God has made in you, and for which He is holding you responsible. The story of the talents is a story of that. One man was given 5 talents, and another was given 2 talents, and one was given 1. The one that had been given 1 act very much like most of us act.
What did God give you? What talent? Is it singing? Is it teaching? Is it nursing? God gave you a gift, and you need to explore that gift.
To invest it and to bring back dividends for God, He buried it in the ground, so to speak, of indifference. And He did not anticipate His tragedy in, however, because the Lord of those talents came back at an unsuspected time. The danger of it all is that you are given the control and the management of this investment that God has made in you.
Right.
And that you are left on your own. God doesn't stand around and punch you. That is, literally, He doesn't, to see what you're doing and how you're going to do. He merely lets you know that you are responsible for My investment.
Yes, yeah.
And that I'm holding you accountable.
Yes.
And that one day I will be back.
Yes.
And you must report to Me.
Yes.
For everything that you've done.
Yes.
And how you have invested what I have given you. And I said the danger of it is you own your own. You own your own. But you know, sometimes some people cannot stand to be on their own. Some people cannot stand responsibility. Some people cannot make good managers, it appears. Some folk are waiting for the first opportunity. As soon as the boss takes his eye off them, they are searching. Hiding. Marking time. But that is dangerous. Because the boss of your life, the giver of your life, the investor that has invested in you, nor what you should do, and know what He has made you capable of doing.
Yes.
Pray with me if you please.
Yes.
You're talking about a time clock. He has put one within all of us.
Yes.
He knows when you punch in and when you punch out.
Yes.
He knows whether you are late or on time.
Yes.
Pray with me, there's no escape. And if you are lying down on the job, if you haven't punched in for the last year or so, if you haven't reported for duty for the last month or so, He know it tonight. You can't escape. He's made an investment in you. And it's not left up to you to do what you want to do with it. You've got to one day account for the deeds done in your body. Why, I often say that when I look down on the casket and see those two little startling words, at rest, doesn't always mean that the person that's in there is at rest. It sometimes means the home that he came out of is at rest. now that he's gone, or now that she's gone. Sometimes it means that husband is at rest. Sometime it means that wife is at rest, now that they have laid you out. Are you praying with me? Sometime it means that the church where he was a member is now at rest, because they kept up so much confusion. Sometimes it means the neighbors or the people with whom they work are now at rest, now that you're gone. So brothers and sisters, we should all remember that there is one who has an all-seeing eye and who knows what investment he's made in us. He knows whether or not he left with us one talent or whether or not he left with us two. He knows whether or not he's left with us five. You see what I'm talking about? And he knows exactly what our report should be. That is, if it is a faithful report. Yeah, and I think that all of us, and especially those of you who have wandered away, and who seem to think because you're getting by that you've gotten away. Well, remember, you may be getting by, but that doesn't mean you have got away. Pray with me if you please. I've seen people who committed crime and have gotten by for several years. And one day when they feel safe, satisfied and secure, why, the FBI walk up and tap them on the shoulder and tell them exactly who they are and what they've done and why they did it. There was a man who gotten by, but who didn't get away. And you talking about an FBI system. Why, my God has the best the world has ever known. He had all kind of agents working for him. Sickness worked for him, and it's sometime one of his detectives. Oh Lord. And sometime misfortune worked for him. And sometime trouble will arrest us for him. And I don't believe you know what I'm talking about. Oh Lord. Why, sometime, why, experiences about our family life works on God's side. You may feel because you're getting by, you've gotten away. Oh Lord, if you're wasting your life and wasting your time, if you've forsaken God and like a prodigal went away from home into the far country of pleasure and into the far country of revelry, remember, great God, if you don't mind out like Jonah, great God, you know Jonah thought he'd gotten by too, you know, and thought he'd gotten away too. Oh Lord, but the Lord called his detective to win, and then called another one of his officers, the cloud, and spoke to another one of his agents, the sea, and made that old sea boil like a potter, and made the wind roll themselves into a hurricane. I don't believe you know what I'm talking about tonight. Oh Lord, my God, great God, whispered to a whale and told him to be a submarine for him and keep up with that ship until he got Jonah convinced. Holy God Almighty. Oh Lord. And eventually Jonah had to come on wire. He bought his ticket and then went down below deck. Pray with me if you please. And hid from the crowd and from the passengers and lay down and went to sleep. And trouble arose on the old vessel. Nobody knew what was going on or who was responsible.
Nobody knew that Jonah was on board. You know, sometimes the vessels of our lives are rocking because there is a Jonah on board. You may not know who I is or who he is, but all of the shaking and all of the trouble that you are having is because there's a Jonah on board somewhere. Oh, Lord. But the Lord made the wind, the lightning and the thunder. The sea wept for him to bring Jonah out. Oh, Lord. He may be working on you, and you may think you are hid in the hull of life. And the reason why the storms of life are raging around you, God is trying to bring you out of where you belong and where you promised to be. I don't think you know what I'm talking about. Oh, Lord, you ought to do like Jonah. Great God. You know, Jonah cost the ship so much trouble. Yes, he did. They had to throw off supplies into the sea. They had to drown medicine and food that was intended for innocent people in the poor country. Oh, Lord. But on the account of Jonah, they had to waste it all. Well, you may be causing other people to suffer because you are Jonah. Oh, come on up. Yeah. And do like Jonah did. Come on up on board. Yeah. And tell the world, I know I'm wrong. Yeah. I know I've been running away. Yeah. I know I've been hiding. Oh, Lord. I know why I'm going through all that I am going through. The Lord is my God. I don't even know what I mean tonight. Oh, Lord. If I were you tonight, wherever you are, if I'd been a Jonah, if I'd been like one of the talent men who've been laying down on a job, oh, I mean right now, even right where you are, right in your home, I'd make up in my mind, oh, right now, get up in my mind. Yeah. Like a wandering prodigal, I'd get up out the hog pen. Like a running hiding Jonah, I'd come out of the hole. Yes, I would. And I'd tell the Lord, 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 here I am. Lord, here I am. Lord, here I am. Take me and use me in your own way. I tell him that. And I tell him now.
Come on, everybody, put your hands together like this. That's it, we're gonna have a good old church. Can I hear the guitar? The guitar, please, come on. Little bass, please. All right, here we go.
God is, God is,
oh,
my everything.
God is,
God is, my everything.
He's my
for God, he buried it in the ground, so to speak, of indifference. And he did not anticipate his tragic end, however, because the Lord of those talents and to Israel, there were obstructing mountains surrounding her. Her situation in Babylon. Economic mountain. Social and political mountain. Religious mountain. Encircled and enclosed her in. And she was down here in the stagnant air of a valley in Babylon. So that he said that he was in the spirit. And that gives validity to it, you know. People speak a little bit about the spirit now. But I'm afraid that the church is losing a great deal of its spiritual consciousness. It wasn't unusual for folk to say when I was growing up as a boy, the spirit told me to do certain things. Or I was led by the Spirit to do certain things. So that this prophet was a spiritual mind. A spirit-filled, God-conscious prophet. And he said, while being in the Spirit, the Lord led him out to the valley. And then led him to the midst of the valley and sat him down in the midst of it. What he was really saying, that God led him to the heart of Israel's problem and Israel's situation in Babylon. That's what he was saying. God took him in a far-going survey, in a far-going analysis and understanding of his little Babylonian situation. And when the Lord had led him to the heart of Israel's problem, set him down there, then for fear that way out on the periphery of things, he'd miss something, then the Lord led him round and about the valley. Or took him and encompassed the valley. Circled it on all sides. That he might not miss the remotest problem of Israel's situation. And when the survey was thorough and complete, the Lord poured the question to him.
Come on, clap your hands. vicinity.
Don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. Y'all say now. Don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. Please don't do it. Yeah, don't do it.
Hey, hey.
Bibles, hey.
Speak unto death. God, I will give you a crown of life. He did not say, you understand, be thou faithful until death. And I don't know the reason why, but for some reason we softly use that verse. And for some reason we somehow misquote that valuable verse in our Bible. My God, because it does not say, be thou faithful until death. My God, but rather it says, be thou faithful unto death. And there is a difference in the word until and the word unto. Oh Lord. And that word until means until the point. But the word unto means beyond the point. Oh Lord. And until means it's limited. But unto me is beyond all bounds and beyond all limits. Oh Lord, and if I think about this church and how about the Franklin brought this church from a mighty long way. Oh Lord, yeah, ever this show that there were too many until members instead of unto members. Oh Lord, and Reverend Franklin, I'm with you until I disagree with you. Oh Lord, and Dr. Franklin, I'm with you until you hurt my feelings. Oh Lord, and I'm with you until you don't call my name. Going.